You're listening to the Man Cave 4301 podcast, where I talk to people from all walks of life and professions about the heavy stuff. We delve into their stories of adversity and how they got through it, what tools they gained to get through it, and what they are doing now. Sharing their stories can aid others by identifying their own issues and encourage them to speak up and reach out for help. Before we get into the episode, I want to thank all my listeners for all the support. If you like this episode and want to stay up to date with future episodes, you can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and I also post some of these episodes up on YouTube when I can as well. If you or someone you know has a story to share and a bid to help others or just even to get something off your chest, please contact me via Facebook at Ella Stratford or email me at mancave4301@gmail.com. In today's episode, I talked to three amazing guys making a huge difference in the men's mental health scene. Dan, Leon, and Seth are the admins of the Facebook group Brothers United. An exciting episode awaits, so let's begin.
Play some Leon, is it work?
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And that actually helps me quite a lot, because it like separates like...
Oh, yeah, so it's like a split personality then.
Yeah. Gemini. Yeah.
When you have to put your big boy pants on.
Yeah, as soon as I walk out that gate on a Friday, just I'm thumper.
Yeah. Pants come off and off we go.
Yeah. We drink beer out of shoes and stuff. Like, and frowned upon.
It's a special kind of human that can do that, eh?
Yeah. Other people's too. Like.
That's pretty impressive.
But when it becomes your calling card, it gets tiring. You know, people at the server be like, yeah, Seth. And they're like, yeah, Papa, do a shoey. I'm in
thongs.
Shoey.
My kids are in the car.
Yeah. I don't even have a beer. It's like, matter of fact, hold that. Yeah.
All right. So the way we're going to start it is I'll get you to say, my name is, and this is the, and then all three of you go, this is the Man Cave 4301 podcast.
I think you had some Islander boys in and tried to do this once on one of the podcasts I was listening to, and it took you about 5 minutes.
Talking smack?
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, that was fucked.
This bit was very hard, wasn't it? Yeah, this bit was quite the challenge for you.
So we're going to do it right.
Yeah.
All right. Probably not. I'm going to fuck it up, just so you know.
Well, what audio do you want to pump, Seth, Dan, myself?
You need the whiteboard up here so we don't get it wrong.
Yeah.
Teleprompter.
We'll start with you, Daniel.
Yep. My name's Dan.
My name's Thumper.
My name's Seth.
And this is the Man Cave 4301 podcast.
I forgot that part of it. That was the exact bit that we were taking awesome. The piss out of.
Yeah.
I've heard it a few times.
You're right. You're laughing.
Trying to choreograph this bullshit is just beyond me.
Looking after kids, mate.
You know, we'll just keep it at that.
Yeah, that'll
work. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Man Cave 4301 podcast. I'm your host, Big Kev. I'm sitting here today with Dan, Leon, and this guy over here. These guys are here to represent Brothers Unite, a Facebook page on Facebook. You see those skills?
Yeah, you're killing it, mate.
You've done this before.
I've done this before. Bringing into light mental health for blokes and blokes only. Don't tag your missus, otherwise shit's going to hit the fan. What is it? Scullies? Shoeys?
Well, yeah, it's normally... not a lot of people own up to it anymore.
Yeah, nobody really subscribes to it.
But there used to be some awesome ones where if you do mess up and tag the missus, it was sort of like a challenge where we'd block you, and then you'd have to get a video of you sculling a beer and apologising for fucking up, and then we'd sort of put some shit on you and welcome you back with open arms. So it was never like a full ban, but that's sort of... Less blokes tag their misses, and then you'll get some. Normally the newcomers, and you just never hear from them again. You just sort of...
they fail off.
But we've had some awesome ones. There was one who got his son to film him doing it. Yeah. And his son was actually belittling him.
Yeah.
As he was drinking his beer.
There was a big lad there a while back, this couple of months ago. He was a monster. You remember that guy?
Yeah.
He sculled that VB out in his front yard.
Yeah.
I have never seen a human being do that before.
Yeah, he nearly sucked the can flat.
Yeah, it was incredible.
So quick, I think I saw that one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
It's some impressive shit on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There really is.
Yeah, well, we try and keep the content a bit humorous to just to keep it relatable for the boys.
You need that little bit of levity.
Yeah.
So it's not all doom and gloom, which is not what people want. They want to... No.
Yeah, a bit of positivity, a bit of a game.
Well,
yeah.
That's why we're constantly asking them to share whatever they're up to. Like, I'll do the Friday vid, and as you do the Saturday and that, we'll always be like, show us what you're doing, because it is like you've got... It's like two sides of the coin, isn't it? You've got the guys that are struggling and that, but we also rely on the guys that are having a good time to show that, you know, life's good, and to help those fellas out and, get out, get amongst it, do something. Because a lot of people can get stuck in that hole where they're just sitting in on the weekend, you know, overthinking stuff.
It was actually last night I was thinking, I actually had contact with a veteran last night, and it's one of the reasons why I do it with veterans is, especially on the page that I was added to, which was the veteran-owned business group. So you've got all these businesses that are veteran-owned, which shows people, well, shows other veterans that there's life outside the military.
Something else out there,
And that there is something to give them that purpose. So it's really good that they do that. So I reckon we start off with Dan. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you come from, and how you became a member of this page.
My story is sort of long and twisted, I guess. I've grown up very privileged.
That's what she said.
I've grown up very privileged. I mean, my parents are always great to me. I never really had any huge adversity throughout my life. But in saying that, I guess I never really learned to handle it when I did. I guess my downturn in my mental health sort of happened around 2011. My best mate was killed in the army. I was working long hours, I was pushing myself, just physically, mentally, I was already sort of on a knife edge. And this guy that I'd grown up with from the age of about 6 years old, we went to school together, we were best mates, we used to skate together, we'd started drinking beers together, we were brothers, I guess. So he was killed over in Afghanistan in 2011. And just everything sort of crashed down around me. I just didn't know how to handle it. Couldn't feel anything anymore. I just sort of turned off. The only way that I knew how to deal with it was just to avoid it. From there, I mean, I've always been sort of very self-critical anyway. Sort of kept digging at myself, kept getting worse. I mean, I never contemplated ending anything, but I certainly just thought, there's got to be an easier way out than what I'm doing. I got added into Brothers Unite 3 or 4 days after it started. Got in contact with the guys and just said, hey, what's this about? Is this one of those groups? We know the types of groups. Is this one of those? And I got told and assured at the time, no, it's not. This is a group of guys that don't want it to be one of those. This is a band of mates. We've gotten together. We know each other. We want to be able to give other guys that don't know that there's a support network out there the opportunity to reach out and have a support network. There's people out there that don't have close friends. There's people out there that don't venture out to the pub. There's people like me that just turned off. Having the opportunity or, almost not a public forum, but, seeing other people reaching out and seeing other people benefit from it gave me the strength to then open up and benefit from it. And from there, I started working, I guess, a little bit harder on actually focusing on my mental health and stepping up, manning up, and I think there's a lot around about blokes, saying, you shouldn't be crying or you shouldn't be talking about your mental health, just man up and get on with it. And I think the term man up is used wrong there. Manning up is putting your hand out and helping a bloke. It's recognising that you need help. It's, finding a rock and being a rock. And that's sort of the ethos that Brothers Unite carried right from the very inception of it, is to be there for the guys. And that's what we do. So from there, I sort of evolved from just a regular poster and a regular contributor to somebody that was actually helping the guys out, moderate and administrate the page. And now I'm balls deep. I am Brothers Unite.
Yep. Live and breathe it.
Yeah, absolutely, awesome. Mate.
What about yourself, Leon?
I grew up in...
Do you prefer Leon or Thumper?
Thumper's
good. Okay, man. Thumper's good. Yeah. What about you, Thumper?
I grew up not so privileged in the UK. Crazy family. My dad's a bit of a menace. It was a rough childhood. It was brilliant coming out here. Like, I'll never say my dad wasn't a hard worker, he really was, and bringing me out here is probably the best thing he's ever done. I'll always have respect for him, and the fact that I always had full tummy, roof over my head, and bringing me here was like a big thing. But yeah, like a family curse, so to speak, with violence, alcohol and gambling. That's played a massive part in my life. But for me, I've overcome a lot of that. And it's always been, my mum's a queen, she's brilliant. Like, they're not together anymore. But for me, I spent a lot of time overcoming stuff and still being nice to others. I think I've got that from me mum, you know what I mean? And to use what I've seen and what I've been through as a kid as a reason instead of an excuse to be a lot better.
We still see it today with kids.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They talk about them two twin brothers, one of them had like an abusive alcoholic dad, and one of them becomes like an amazing father and that, and the other one's an alcoholic abusive bloke. And you ask the two twins why they are like they're like, and they both reply with, "I watched my dad."
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it's always been a flip side of the coin. I always wanted to make sure, you know, but like my mum always said, learn from other people's mistakes sometimes, you know what I mean? And like things like that. So I've always done that, and I've always been a sort of guy anyhow that, like, I'll be sat at a bus stop and people start talking to me about their life.
You sort of gravitate. Yeah, people gravitate to you. You've got that magnet in you.
Yeah, really.
People want to talk to you, won't
they? Yeah, as much as, and that's why I became a part of Brothers United. I got added by a mate who I helped out a bit, and then I met these guys and started talking more and stuff, and it was really good for me, because without getting all soppy bollocks, it was nice to actually have, because I was always sort of that guy within my peer group that was always helping like each other, like blokes out and giving advice and that. It was really nice to run into these guys, and once I put a few stupid videos up, and Seth over here saw me talking to a lot of blokes and that, he brought me in the fold, and getting to know these guys, it's been awesome having, really for me, my first ever positive male role models, really. I've sort of just been winging it to this stage, and like, looking at what other people do and how I think I should do stuff, as opposed to other people making mistakes, to actually have older like guys, because I don't have an older brother or nothing, that I can turn to when I'm, you know what I mean? So for me, yeah, it's like a little bit of comfort in that as well. So it's really,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's how it's helped me, yeah.
We're kind of like your new dads, aren't we?
Yeah.
The creepy next level uncles.
That's it, yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
I'm not getting your PlayStation, bub.
Yeah, you really should. Well, mum's new boyfriend got me the hat, didn't
she? Like,
yeah, my mum's.
If you don't get him a PlayStation, mate, he's going to tell.
Mum's new boyfriend got me that hat. That was good, though. I see it to him straight. I was like, it's because I'm too old to take for ice cream, isn't it? That's your power play,
They give you the hat, and you're like, all right, you can stay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Way better than a PlayStation.
Yeah, that's
it's reversible.
It is reversible. This thing, pretty good.
It's so bogan. But I didn't say that out loud.
That's what my missus say. Hey, like, I'm English, but she's like, you're like more Aussie than Aussies, aren't I?
Yeah, I've never met.
How old were you when you moved over?
I was 15.
Very impressionable age.
Yeah, but this is like, I was a bit of a misfit back home. And then I came here and it's just like, this is the pinnacle. This is where it's at. Guys jumping off cliffs into the surf and that, and just like, just getting
Australia. Australia, yeah. Like Charlie the Chocolate Factory.
It was, yeah. Just without the entertaining midgets. They're out there, you just got four.
Our ones don't dance.
Nah.
No, they curse.
Yeah.
And they kick you.
Yeah.
Oh, what about you, Seth?
Oh, my story, it's nothing special, mate. I grew up way out west on a farm, and the parents were always together, and, you know, I suppose we learnt the value of hard work and an honest day's work very, very early in life. I failed a bit with education. I only made it, believe it or not, I only made it to the end of grade 8. And then after that, I had to go back and learn how to learn again, and then we sold the farm up, moved into the coast, and just sort of, I kicked around a little bit, made a bit of an ass of myself as a kid, as you do, and just progressed from there. I got a job sort of out on the water and sort of learnt what life is all about, I guess.
How old were you?
What was I, 17. 16, 17. Yep. Before that, I had various jobs, you know, working on farms and bits and pieces and all that sort of thing. But yeah, it was a good journey. It was an interesting journey. It was hard, but
did you find working on farms and that you grew up a bit quicker?
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, man, I was at 7 years old, I was driving four-wheel drives, I was driving tractors, I was, you know, you name it.
You're working.
Yeah, I was working, you know, 4:35 in the morning, you'd be up and that was it. You'd do your schoolwork and you'd get it done in a couple of hours, and then the rest of the time you were just working on the farm. Just the way it was. That was life. It was just an accepted thing out there, you know, everyone did it.
So I didn't know this. So you, were you homeschooled?
Yep.
That explains
things. It does, doesn't it? So yeah, it was, we used to get assignments once every month by mail, and I'd get like a, it was like an assignment book, and that was the month's worth of schoolwork. So you'd get in, you'd get it done in 3 or 4 days,
yeah,
and that sort of thing, and then the rest of the time was out in the paddock.
Yeah, getting dirty.
So working, yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah,
balls deep, it was great.
I thought you were going to say, oh, back in my day.
I'm actually thinking,
we had tutoring said... over the radio.
That actually happened. We didn't even have Morse TV reception out there.
So you actually used a you are.
Yeah, man. Ham radio. No shit.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, we did sex education in the UK in year 7. So how do you explain that over the radio without like the banana?
Well, there was actually a point in time where I had a governess come in.
Really?
So.
Really?
Yeah.
A fucking what?
An itinerant teacher. So like a teacher would come in and stay on the station for a couple of weeks.
Right.
And just monitor the schoolwork and make sure that you're kind of up to speed and all that sort of thing.
So did you and
her? She was a lovely young lady. All
right.
Oh, so that's actually... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's how we did the sexual education thing. The governess, but I think this is different.
No, not really.
It was more liver.
So from there, I guess, I progressed, like I said, over to the coast. Got a job working on the water and just sort of went from there. Settled down, had kids, and then here we are.
So reasonably unscathed.
Sort of, yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
I didn't do too bad. Up until, you know, probably, I guess maybe 13 years ago, I lost the old man. That one hit me a bit hard. I didn't really know which way to go, where to turn, and, you know, what to do. He had a pretty bad stroke. So it crippled him on his left side. And from the waist down, he had already suffered a spinal trauma when he was a young bloke. So he was sort of crippled on the right side. So he had use of his right arm. And his neck muscles, and that was about it. He could barely speak, and he went like that for almost 2 years before he finally gave up and passed. So that kind of left me in a little bit of a void for a while, and I was sort of a bit of a lost soul for a bit, until I sort of had kids and settled down and pulled my head in. And then...
I can imagine that watching your father go through that for a couple of years would really have an effect on you. Like, I know my ex-partner's uncle had motor neurone disease.
Yep.
So watching him go through that and it was horrible for their family. Like, you know, he used to be such a bubbly guy, and just to watch him degrade and
yeah, it'd be more punishing than like
something quick,
like a phone mate, call. Yeah, could be old cop a knock on the door.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Like watching someone.
In all honesty, as brutal as this sounds, that probably would have been a lot better. You know, because he was bedridden. You know, and then you would physically, I would lift him up out of the bed and put him in a wheelchair, and I'd take him out. You know, like just outside to get a bit of sun because he was in a nursing home.
Yeah.
So you know, I would do that, and you know, we'd play chess or. He still had the mind. The mind was as sharp as a razor, but physically, everything had let him down.
Yeah, that's a fucking punishing thing too.
Mate, the poor guy just deteriorated so much, you know. Like, it was just not... It was inhumane, you know. So then, yeah, like I said, I lost myself for a little bit. And then the kids kind of came along, and that was good for me. It was a good blessing. I kind of settled down a little bit.
Was it... sort of something else to focus on.
Yeah, it was sort of
something else important
took,
to focus on.
Yeah, like Dan, I didn't know how to deal with it. I just didn't. So it was something for me that I could just put in the background and then focus on the kids and, you know, relationship and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I suppose to a certain extent it was good therapy for a while. It kept me sort of on an even keel. And then, yeah, not too many people know this part of the story, I guess, but I have had a little bit of a relationship breakdown progressively over the last probably 8 years, 8 to 10 years. It's been slowly but surely getting worse. My now ex suffered addiction issues with prescription medication and whatnot. So that's kind of been pretty difficult as it stands at the moment. We're separated and whatnot, and I have full-time care of 4 kids.
Yep.
So that one...
It's a big responsibility, and it's a...
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's
a massive job. Like, I'm at the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, I'm separated with 2 kids, but they live in New South Wales.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, complete polar opposites. So I can't imagine what it's like trying to get 4 kids ready for school in the morning and
Look, it's one of those things, I think, you're faced with a situation and you can do one of two things. You can either curl up in the corner and not deal with it, or you can just...
get the job done.
Yeah, get on with it and get the job done. And these guys here, especially, they've been amazing.
Mm.
As much as I preach it, I sometimes find it difficult to reach out and ask for help.
Exactly the same.
But these guys, they just bash the door down with beers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they've been a really good support network for me. It's been amazing. It's been an awesome journey.
Yeah, yeah. You've got a good team at home as well. I mean, your kids, they all sort of back each other.
Yeah, they do. They're incredible kids.
How old are they?
So 14, now 13. They're the 2 girls. Then I've got a boy who's 11 and a girl who's 8.
Yeah.
So
3 girls. You live in the estrogen ocean. Oh, mate. Holy shit.
It's amazing, hey? Like, it's...
The good thing, that, I guess the blessing that you've got is you can go, just go talk to your sister about that.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, that's it.
She's doing that right now. That's why she's angry. Go talk to her.
Yeah. Sometimes I just do the whole... light. Then we start on the subject of boys and boyfriends at school and all that kind of stuff, and I'm like, what's his name? Where does he live?
Let's go bash him.
I'll kill him.
Yeah.
You know? But it's just facts of life, you know. You've got to deal with it. You've got to, you know, you've got to get on with it and try and, I suppose, run support for them as best you can. And it's honestly, it's I wouldn't have it any other way. It's amazing. It's incredible.
Absolutely, you know. So, yeah,
but yeah, it was the inception, I guess, of Brothers Unite was from all three of us, Cam, Tommy and myself. And at the time we were all going through some pretty difficult stages in life, so we kind of...
Did you guys meet through the page?
Yeah.
Through the group?
Yeah. We didn't know each other previously.
Who founded the group?
Seth.
Oh, you founded it?
Yeah, so myself, okay. Cam and Tommy, those guys are... They're still on the page, but they're no longer active as admins or mods. The three of us kind of got together, and we'd been kicking the idea around for a little while, and then after Christmas one year, a couple of years ago, in 17, one of the guys said, you know what, fuck it. I'm just going to make this page and we'll see what happens and where it goes. Hopefully we can harbour some good guys in the page and we can find some support and go from there. And that was the basic inception. At the time, none of us ever dreamed that it would be what it is today. So we kind of just kicked it together, added a bunch of our mates in, they added some mates in, and then here we are, 20,000 plus members later and an amazing support network, and it's incredible for the guys.
It's really built on morals, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
Like,
yeah,
it's just that's the foundation is just really good morals.
Yeah,
which is great. It's not psychology or it's not any of that stuff. It's just everyday people.
Well, a lot of the time you don't need that. A lot of the time it's not that deep. I mean, obviously, yeah. I feel if you're really suffering, but sometimes a guy just needs a push to go and seek actual professional help. You know what I mean? Yeah. The biggest key is admitting there's something up.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the main culture push. You know, a lot of things, it could be, I'd say something's more menial than others, but like for some people, those menial things are massive. It's the biggest thing they've ever been through. So it was more like just, it was encouragement to open up and say that I'm struggling.
Yeah, people don't want judgment. I mean, no matter how confident you think you are, you know, everybody's going to get that white coat syndrome or that stigma that goes along with, I'm going to see a psychiatrist. Mm. Yep. We've sort of said since the beginning that men don't talk face to face, they talk side by side. Sitting across, I mean, this is probably a bad example at the moment because we are sitting across from each other. We're talking to each other, talking to each other face to face, like you would with a doctor or a psychiatrist or, you know, somebody who's a professional in that field. You're almost being interrogated.
Yeah.
Talking side by side, you know, two blokes sitting down having a beer, two guys sitting out behind the surf, two dudes just sitting on the beach watching their kids run around. You know, hey, how have you been? You know, that's the environment that we've created. And it started from, as Seth said, it was a bunch of mates that added a bunch of mates, and they sort of went, you know what, let's have this little group that we can get together and just bring stuff up if we need to. And it worked.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, it worked. Dudes talk to each other when you give them the opportunity. And the amount of guys we've pulled away from the edge, you know, I think if I died tomorrow, I'll die happy knowing that I've stopped some bad shit happening to one other dude. Yep. But there's many more than that.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many more than that. There's guys that we've intervened with at that point, you know?
And so we got some abuse afterwards from some of them too. We've had cops go through a door and that, and then it's like...
Yeah, we've had guys abusers for it, but then, you know... A week later, they go, you know what, you did the right thing, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, okay, a bit of a turn, not all of them turn around, but...
Most
of them. We've had almost 100% success rate.
Yeah. Wow.
When we intervene or when we, you know, jump on board and say, hey, you know, are you doing well or are you okay or chat with me, talk with me.
Mm.
And we do that on private messenger, like myself, these guys, the mods, we've all sat up until ungodly hours of the morning, you know, 2, 3, 4 in the morning chatting to guys.
Yeah, just keeping them off the
edge.
You know,
and just keeping them going, keeping them off the edge. And then they say, you know, like, I'm starting to sober up or I'm starting to get tired or whatever. I'm going to go and have a rest. And it's like, good. Have a couple of hours sleep. Come back to me in the morning when you get up, and you know you'll have a new perspective on things. Touch base with me, and then we'll keep that. And we keep that conversation going, and we keep that forum going. And it literally brings them back from the edge. Mm. They get up in the morning after a few hours sleep, and they go, "Oh fuck, okay,
and
all right."
The best thing ever is when somebody else is going through a similar problem. They post it up on the page, and these guys that we saved a month ago come through and they say, "Look, this is how y'all do this."
Yep.
Yeah,
you know the. Yeah. You know, I guess the victim then becomes the hero.
Yeah.
And, you know, he saves somebody else's life. And it's this perpetual thing, you know. Now all of a sudden he's got purpose. He's saved another dude. He knows he's got the strength to help him. He can help himself. And it just, it just keeps going.
It's an amazing, it is. It's a really amazing cycle, hey. Like, it's incredible to watch guys literally that are borderline on the edge. You know, like they are ready to put a bullet in their head or hang themselves you know, literally. And then a month or 2 months or 3 months later, you see them up on the page commenting on posts and literally talking to guys, like one-on-one on Messenger.
And they're
going, hey, man, this is where I was at. This is what happened. This is how I unfucked it.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's
because a lot of our real serious ones are, some of the best contributors now.
They really are.
Yeah.
Yep. And, so and that's one thing that I hit home with the veterans is your story and your coping mechanisms and the way that you got out of things. Not everyone's going to relate with that, but if one person does and they can pick up those skills and use them themselves to help themselves out.
It's almost a play-by-play on how to get through it,
Yeah,
because many people, everyone's different.
Yeah.
So, and there's many different ways of doing it, and not everything's going to work for the same people.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's, so, because everyone's circumstances are different.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I think the success is getting so much better now than what it was 12 months ago. You know, 12 months ago we had 10,000 members, we had 10,000 you know, different ideas, or you know, and as we get more and more people in, there's more and more contribution that comes through. So as you say, you know, there's no step by step, you know, there's no code book, there's nothing out there that tells you how to deal with shit going on in your life. There's a bunch of dudes that have done it. There's a bunch of dudes that can help. They can chuck in there a little bit. You might take something from that guy, you might take something from another dude, and all of a sudden you've got your own coping mechanism, your own story that you're ready to write then,
What I really like is I do see some really early inception in there as well, like people having a whinge.
Mm.
Yep, this happened, this is shit, I'm feeling shit. And people saying, look, dude, that's just a part of life, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? Because I feel that there's a lot of people out there that are misconstruing their feelings and saying, because you hear depressed a lot.
There's a difference depression, between sad and depressed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there's a lot of people on there that get the wrong idea.
Mm. Yeah.
But then others come through and say, hey, look, that's really trivial, or I mean, it's not bad that you're asking, but you know, you'll get through that.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, it's not a catastrophe. You'll still get support
for it.
Yeah.
But you'll realize that in the grand scheme of things, this is only a small thing. You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But you'll also get some blokes who, there could be numerous amounts of things in their lifestyle or their situation that they're not getting what they need. You know what I mean? And then it could be something small that's just like,
could be the straw.
Camel's back. You know what I mean? And they focus so much on that one thing when really it's like a whole, array of things. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Need sorting.
But that early inception can prevent them from snowballing those feelings.
Yeah.
You know, so.
What would you, that quote thing that was going around earlier in the week, that we need to stop pulling blokes out of the river and find out what's making them fall in.
Absolutely.
It was a bigger,
Because, I mean, there's a lot of life things, financial situations, relationship situations and all that sort of stuff. And it just all amalgamates and just becomes this one big thing.
Mm.
You know, if we can nip it in the bud as we go.
Well, you're dealing with individual problems then. It's not my life is shit. It's this particular situation.
If you can hit it at those small issues, which is happening, you can see it happening.
Yeah.
Which is just fantastic. It's not going to snowball and get too bad.
Yeah. It never gets overwhelming then. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think when I look back and when I draw on my own experiences, and the same with these guys probably, you kind of, when you don't know how to deal with things, men tend to shove them into the background.
Oh, you know always. What
I mean? And they just, oh fuck it, I'll deal with it later, or I don't want to think about that right now. Yes. And then you have another problem. And then another one, and another one. Mm-hmm. And by the time you finish shoving all those into the background,
the bag gets full.
Yeah, that's it. And you become so singularly focused. And we actually had a conversation about this a couple of days ago on the chat between us guys. You become so singularly focused on those problems and on, hey, fuck, my life is shit.
Yeah, you've almost got blinkers on, eh?
Yeah, and you cannot focus on anything else. And all it takes sometimes is another bloke sitting next to you going, hey, man.
Yeah, just go. Look over here.
Yeah.
Check this out. Yeah. Look what else is going good.
This is another option, or this is, try this coping mechanism, or have a go at, here's all your options.
Yeah.
And then you wake up the next day and go, well, fucking hang on a minute. These are my options. I'm going to put a plan in place.
Mm.
And off we go from there. And then there's a little bit of a silver lining on the cloud. And then it snowballs from there.
Mm.
And then, you bring guys back that way. But the other problem that we face is that we have to be very careful on the page to try and keep things relatable. Try and keep us relatable as well, so that guys are encouraged to reach out.
Mm.
We can't be just seen to be a bunch of admins and mods and a point of authority on a Facebook page. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You have to be relatable.
We are the boys.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just a bunch of, beer drinking fucking idiots that run amok every now and then, but we care.
Mm.
We give a shit about our fellow blokes.
I like how active you guys are in the whole thing. It's really good. It's the way it should be, instead of sitting in the background.
Yeah, I mean, it's for the boys, by the boys.
Being open about our problems too. You don't want to become some sort of pinnacle like, hey, I've got it all sorted out. Like, you know what I mean? But you've got to lead by example.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I took my own advice the other day and posted up my post.
Yep.
And I thought, I just need to vent.
Yeah.
Because I've just gone through a shit situation with work. Like, it's starting to sort itself out, but it's just the uncertainty.
Yeah.
It's the, if I can lose a job like that through an email, like, not even a phone call.
That was late too. That was quite late in the evening, wasn't it?
Well, I was asleep because I had a 9 o'clock start that night, and one of the guys from work called me and said, can you check your email? Because I've got this email saying that the company's gone into liquidation, and I think it might be a hoax.
Mm.
And I went, I was still doughy. And I was like, what the fuck are you on about, cunt? What? I'm trying to sleep. And he goes, no, check your email. So I checked my email, and sure enough, there's a fucking letter there saying, company's gone into liquidation, your position has been terminated as of immediately. Now, a lot of people, I've said this before on the podcast, I used to drive cabs years ago, and it sent me into debt, like 10 grand, like, because I couldn't pay my bass quarterly, because I wasn't making enough money.
Yeah.
Right? And it sent me into a really dark place. And when I separated from the missus, because I had some dark thoughts, when I separated from the missus, we were, I had to buy this place out. So going into 270 grand worth of debt, like, was just fucking so overwhelming. And it, once I sat down and nutted it out and figured out that I could do it, then it was all right. But then that night came, a Friday night, and I just come flooding back again. Like, just spent money on a car, like, and picked it up the Tuesday before this happened.
That's nice as well.
Yeah, it is a nice car.
Yeah, it's a good rig.
I'm happy that I can afford it. Like, like, it means I work hard.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just rewarding.
I'll take you out and do some jumps, mate. Let's wreck it.
Yeah, man. Fuck, I know a panel guy. But yeah, it just all come flooding back, and I was just like, I do not, for the life of me, want to go back to that place that I was at.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because it would just destroy me. And who knows? It could go further than just thoughts, you know. So I thought, I'll just fucking, I'll take my advice and I'll reach out. And the amount of support that I got was amazing, you know, and suggestions. And that's what it's all about, is suggestions. And, you know, people giving you an out, like, options to rectify the situation.
Yeah.
Keep looking for work, do this, do that. And, you know, I put it all into place, and and it, ultimately, it's worked out.
But as you said on that page, you said you've been in a situation like that before. You're feeling like you did back then, but last time you felt like that,
you got out of it.
You got out.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah, you beat that, man. Yeah. So you've already done it. You know, so
if anything, you're more experienced than last time.
Yeah.
Like, well, in hindsight, I answered my own fucking question, didn't I?
Yeah.
Like,
you actually find that a lot of guys will do that. They will actually answer their own question, but they don't realise it.
It's
almost
a guided discovery, isn't it?
It is,
They already know the answer. They just need somebody to say, hey, you've done this before. You know this.
You're going
to
be okay. You're going to fucking, you will get through this. Yeah. You know how to do it. You can do it.
Yeah.
And that's the part that a lot of blokes, that they lack that, maybe that confidence or that, you know, they need that boost of, hey, man, you know what you can do. You know what you need to do. You know what
you're capable of.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay. Do it.
Got that guy in the corner wiping the Vaso under your cheek and then telling you how you're going to go from here. You got this, man. You're good.
Wasn't wiping it on my cheek.
We're talking about a different kind of fight.
Two bikes get punched in the ring.
Cockfight.
Well, that deteriorated rapidly. Yeah, I mean, I'm impressed with that one.
Yeah, straight away.
That's good.
Now I'm feeling a lot smaller than the rest of you.
What did you say about that before? You're only little.
Yeah.
So what makes BU different to other groups?
Morals, ethics, and a firm belief that every single man is capable of something special.
That was fucking quick.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's our creed.
He's heard that before.
Can you play that back? I want to write that down.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to answer it. Yeah.
I've always been of a firm belief that every single human being on this planet is capable of something special. You can take even the most, or even the biggest shit cunt in the world, and you can give him an opportunity. You give him a platform and an opportunity, and he will give you something special. Every human being is capable of it, irrespective of their circumstances. You just have to be able to see that, and you have to be able to present them an opportunity.
You've got to propagate it and nurture it, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And if you can do that, you'd be amazed. And it's humans don't see that these days enough. People don't see it enough. No. There's not enough of it because for whatever reason.
People don't even talk to their bloody neighbour.
No, that's it. We've become so disconnected that when you give someone an opportunity and when you give them a platform to do something special and do something good, it's amazing to see. It's amazing to watch the result of that. You know, like, and the page is a great example of it. It's amazing.
Mm.
You know, like, I've seen guys literally drive hours to go and pick another bloke up, man, to run him home.
We've had, you know, take people interstate and that. And get people. Remember, old mate had a massive blow up with his missus on the cruise boat.
Yeah.
Kicked off.
Nowhere to fucking go.
Yeah, he got turfed off the cruise boat, But she had his wallet or something on it, and he couldn't get
So he was in New Zealand. Home. And so he managed enough to get to Sydney, but needed to get from Sydney up to the Central Coast. And it was, believe it or not, it was my brother. He organised to... Yeah. But it was just...
I was going to say, your brother got kicked off the boat.
No. My brother saw the post on the page and organised for this guy through, you know, various contacts and, trucks.
There was two transfers with him, wasn't there? Yeah, there was, truck, got him to one place, got him on another, and got him home.
Yeah.
That's fucking sweet.
Mate, you know, like, that kind of success story is, it's an awesome story. It is a really, really awesome story, but it's what's behind it. It's the meaning behind it, which is that every human being is capable of something amazing. You've just got to give them a platform.
Mm.
You've got to give them that opportunity. And when you do...
I find it amazing someone got kicked off a fucking boat in a different country.
That's great.
Yeah, I don't know how the fuck that even happens, but...
Well, it's because the idea becomes a platform, becomes a mentality, becomes a lifestyle.
It's...
Yeah,
it's,
absolutely.
It started out as an ideal. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's where it is. But it's also, you know, like we're... From the very, very first, from day one, we've always maintained a high... values, high morals and ethics, and as far as we will never ever profit off our fellow members, brothers on the page, and we will never ever leave anyone behind. It's as simple as that. Those are, and you know, we've harbored a really high set of values and morals, and that's what we live by. I mean, these guys here, they're fucking incredible. The team works behind the scenes and in the background to make sure that all of that happens, you know, like we don't leave a man behind. And I can tell you, man, it is fucking hard work sometimes.
Mm.
These guys donate so much of their own time and put in so much effort, and I can't sing high enough praises for them.
Mm.
You know, it's from where we were to where we are now is because of these guys, and it's because of the members on the page. You know, it's for the boys by the boys. You know, we just, as Dan says, it's like a garden. We just tend it. The guys on the page make it what it is.
Yeah,
these guys just in the background. They work in the background to,
Members water it. We just pull the weeds if we see before it spreads. Really, isn't it?
Kick the rabbits out. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I guess that's the basics of it. That's the fundamentals of the page.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it kind of really restores your faith in humanity when you scroll through the page and you see so much good stuff going on in there. You know, like a lot of guys banding together to look after each other, look out for each other, and that kind of stuff. It's amazing.
Yep. I think it's great that there's a lot of different ones out there. Like, I'm a member of SA Brothers as well. That's a really good group. So pretty much part of that one so I can help myself and others and get my podcast out there so that I can reach out to more people and get more stories, you know, because, I mean, the whole premise of this podcast is to do exactly what your page is doing. And that's to share people's experiences.
Well, so. I didn't know you were a part of BU. And then
really?
I put two and two. Yeah, because I listened to your podcast show, and then I was like, oh shit. Yeah, when I heard that, I was
so
like,
how did you hear about the podcast?
A mate listened to it at work.
I thought you saw my post on the.
No, the first time I heard about you was from a mate at work because his old boy's a vet. And he'd heard about it from someone else because it was on Spotify.
This is fucking awesome. Like, I didn't know I had that sort of reach. Like,
well, you see, man. I didn't put it together until I saw the Madman Brad one.
Yeah.
Right.
So I saw your podcast with Madman Brad. I went, I know that dude's head. Where do I know him from? And I couldn't figure it out. I think maybe he'd posted something on Brothers Unite, and I'd clicked on your page then and gone, fuck,
that's that was
gone.
When he did that security post.
Yeah, it was.
In your security gear, because we had little Strat who's got the ginger beard, and we're like, oh, we got another ginger bearded security guard. <mate." laughs> Turned into like a Highlander moment.
Turns out Strat can't secure himself.
Yeah, it is amazing. Hey, like, you don't actually realise the reach. You don't realise how many people you connect with.
Yeah.
The majority of your audience is pretty silent, you know, and it's the same with us. The majority of our audience is reasonably silent too. We don't realise how far we reach out, you know, and it's when you finally get something like that, it comes back and you go, hey, and you I chuck it up on the chat every now and then. Hey guys, check this out. This guy's over in fucking USA, and he's
this is that moment for me. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, fucking
It's incredible, man. Hey, it's awesome. I walked through the city a couple of months ago. I was actually literally walking through Queen Street Mall, and all I heard was, "Get up, you cunt!" I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Yeah. And this guy's coming, Seth, how you going? I'm, fuck. It's the first time that, you know, like, and it blew me, it literally blew me away. He's like, you guys do fucking great things on the page, you
it
know.
It takes you by surprise, though.
Yeah. It really does, hey.
I was at the servo, and I think the guy on the counter looks at me like, was he on Big Brother or something? Like, he's like, hey, Dumper, do a shoey. It's literally like 6 in the morning.
I'm filling up with fuel. You saw me driving. Yeah.
You need to stock up on ginger beer.
Yeah.
You need to get your shoes, the animal.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way I'm doing a shoey out of my shoes.
Have you ever done it?
No fucking
way. Oh, come on, man. Yeah. Hey, it's a special kind of human that does it, man. Hey,
I chucked a shoey out of some motorcycle boots, and I swear that's how craft beer is made. Whoa. You just pour a regular beer into some old motorcycle boots, pour it out, and you've got a, what is it, an XPA, a Cooper's XPA. Yeah.
That's craft fucking.
Yeah, that's how you craft beer.
Yeah. As soon as you finish it, the beard came through.
A little bit of mongrel started happening.
Okay, it sort of came through.
Yeah, obviously it was shitty beard. I started with an Asahi or something Asian, that's why it's
Oh, shit.
I've got to do it, though, because I don't have a chin.
No.
It's not actually there.
How do you fold towels?
Hmm? I don't, they just go on the floor, mate. But I've never been punched in the chin either, so.
Okay.
Just go straight past.
I think the, honestly, in all honesty, man, the best skull video I've ever fucking seen, or attempt at a skull video that I've ever seen in my entire life, and I've seen quite a few, was this guy right here, with the air compressor and the can of Great Northern.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
And if anyone actually, like, if anyone's watching this and listening to this, and you're on Brothers Unite, scroll back through, and it's going to take a while for you to get back through to it, but find the video.
It's probably 12 months ago, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was just a little bit over 12 months ago.
Hit the search bar.
And yeah,
it is the most fucking amazing video that I've ever seen. I watched it. I watched it a good 7 or 8 times, man. Hey, and every fucking time I just lost it.
Well, it filled my lungs up, and then it came out my eyes.
It was
well, we were watching over at Stratty the other week. Yeah. We were scrolling just to find it. We're all sat on the beach at Stratty having a beer, watching it.
It took me a good 15 minutes to find it, but fuck, it was worth it again. Hey, it was awesome. So. Basically, what it was, I'll let Dan actually tell the story, because he tells it a lot better than I do.
Yeah, the way it come about, I can't skull beers. I don't have that thing in my neck where I can just open it up and tip a beer down.
A throat?
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen. It's just like a plunger. So I've got to take a mouthful and then swallow. I don't know why I can't do it. So Seth had been taking the piss out of me all the time, so I'd be like, yeah, skull some beers. And he'd be there going, fucking hell, mate. You know, I don't have that bandwidth to watch the video. How long is this going to take? So, yeah, it became an idea of trying to supercharge a beer, I suppose. And I had a closed beer. Just sort of stabbed the end of it, got the air compressor in there, cracked the beer, tipped it, and, chucked 60 PSI down it. So I did it. Come out my nose, come out my eyes.
I'm pissing myself just thinking about it. Everything, it's fucking great. It literally exploded, hey, like it exploded in your face and forced everything down.
So you literally got whiplashed. His whole head goes back at you.
The comment afterwards, though, like it was just an initial fucking blast in the face and down the throat, and then it went, nah. Didn't work.
He's becoming the human piss dispenser.
It's the fucking funniest thing I've ever seen. Hey? It was awesome.
Yeah,
best fucking skull video ever.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. When it comes to fuckery, where's the limit for you guys? Like, I mean, you see some pretty crazy shit on some of these pages.
My limit's at the expense of others.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah,
you know, you see some of those YouTube videos where they're just running around and fucking with people on the street?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm much more into laughing at yourself.
Fucking ice cream, did you hear that?
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Sorry. I got distracted. Squirrels.
This is how he does it. He gets us in the special room and then says, oh, did you? Ice cream.
Ice cream. Yeah.
Jump in my van, I'll take you down there.
Yeah, I think, like what Thumper said, I'm likewise, I'm more into, you have to take the piss out of yourself. You have to be able to take the piss out of yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be comfortable enough with yourself and be able to take the piss out of yourself before you can take the piss out of others.
Yeah, a bit of self-deprecation.
You know what I mean?
So
yeah,
it doesn't hurt.
It goes a long way.
Because there's nothing worse than someone that can fucking dish it out but can't take it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, that's probably the limit. Like when you negatively affect other people, that's not on. That's no good.
Everybody involved needs to be able to laugh.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. And I mean, that's fucking, you've seen it on the page. Some of the shit and the shenanigans and antics.
Oh yeah, it's great.
It's fucking amazing, hey? Like, and it's good for the soul too, you know? Like you get a bit of humour in there. Everybody has a laugh. Everybody has a bit of banter and all that kind of stuff. And it's, you walk away from it.
Serious, isn't it?
Really? No, that's it. You don't take life seriously because, fuck me, it's not permanent.
There is something poetic about watching someone just destroy their fucking body.
It really is. You know? Like, it's
one,
awesome.
One of the boys, didn't he cop an air rifle to the balls or something? Didn't that happen the other day?
Gel blaster.
That was it. Yeah.
No, gel blaster. A little bit less heinous than the air rifle.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
Not by much.
I was going to say, you left that on.
This thing goes 300 feet per... second.
Oh, it's a modified.
It was a modified gel blaster, for all token.
And then they got his balls and just held it on him and went, bro, I sprayed his back.
No, he deserves it.
He deserves it. He does.
I was like, the target.
Yeah.
Shot that many times.
The point of the game was, though, is flog me and I'm going to donate some money.
Yeah.
He did. He picked out a charity, donated some money, we had a laugh.
Oh, yeah. That's great. It was good. It was really good. But yeah, that was the story leading up to that was that we were all camping over at Stratty. And Token bought this fucking gel blaster gun. And you would walk past him, like in the campsite itself, you just walk past randomly, eh? Like, you wouldn't hear anything out of him for 20 minutes, half an hour. And then all of a sudden, he just shoots you in the dick. Like right on the fucking belly. And he was a crack shot with it,
it's
too.
Got me
like,
in the top
every
of the
time.
Ear. That's what broke me.
That's what did it.
Was like morning in the Esky, just bang. I thought it was back at me nan's. And I'd just been caught in the cupboard.
He was a crack shot with it, hey, and he fucking, you wouldn't see it coming, like he'd be behind a tree, he'd be hiding behind a tree or something stupid like that, and he just the barrel would pop out and just right in the dick.
And he wants to do damage too, because he holds it on the side,
yeah,
you know, like on the movies. He's not playing, like, yeah, he goes on the side.
So Token, I know you're probably listening to this, man, fuck you.
I'm a member of a different page as well, and it was a couple of years ago. I decided I'll make someone's day. So I went, and it really came about because I woke up one morning and I just went straight to Bunnings to grab something, and I grabbed a snag while I was there. And Bunnings snags were big back then, so everyone was posting up their Bunnings snags.
Mm. With the onion on top.
Back then it was old school.
Yeah. That's dangerous shit now.
Yeah.
Get a license for this.
You see that Colorado that went up in flames? At Bunnings, stepped on an onion.
Must have. Yeah. Must have.
So shit. I posted up this picture, and like, I did not fucking look at myself before I went out, and my fucking beard was everywhere. My hair was fucked.
Probably had a bit of the last Bunnings sausage still.
No, well, I hadn't hooked into it yet. I had a photo of me with this fucking sausage, right? And I posted
it
up
there. Is
this
the gourmet sausage thread? And it's sort of...
I think I remember this one.
Yeah, so do I. Carry on.
Sorry, yeah.
I got fucking blasted.
Mm.
Like 1,000 comments. And some of the shit that was said was horrid.
Yeah.
Like fucking...
Real shit kind of...
Oh, no, I laughed my head off. Like, it was fucking hell. Like, fucking your beard looks like a sparky scrap bag. Fucking, your teeth look like a desecrated cemetery. Fucking... Lid, fucking what a lid on this cunt, fucking just brutal. And I went, you know what, if that's making someone's day, because there was a fucking lot of laughs, and I was just like, and people were like standing up for me, and I was just like,
yeah, just
fucking don't worry about it, mate, like if this is making some cunt laugh, then
I remember that post.
Oh, really?
It was on another forum. I remember it.
And then I posted mine up with my dad. We both went to Bunnings and got a snag, and then I fucking copped it again. Just said, I'm back. it's good. You've got to be able to take the piss out of yourself. Otherwise, fucking, you know, good to society.
Yeah, I normally sit back and, like, if that, because that can happen sometimes, and it's sitting back and seeing how the other person takes it sometimes, takes it on, you know what I mean? Because sometimes, like, there could be a guy generally having issues.
Yeah.
And if you put something out there, it could have taken them 2-3 weeks to pluck up the bollocks to actually put it on there, you know what I mean? And it can only take like 2 or 3 comments that you'll never hear from him again.
That's kind of regressing
into
the background.
And that's like you said, it's hard, because I'm very much like that. Like, I enjoy it, thrive on it, like the whole banter thing. But it's like, as we said before, a lot of people are different than that, and you've got to sort of like,
you
got to
dip
what,
your
where,
toe
when,
in first,
sort of like,
see where he's at.
And that's where it.
Yeah. Because actually, I was talking about this with a mate. I went over to a mate's house on Friday night, or last night. Thursday night. And we were talking to his daughter, because she's a bit fucking out there and whatnot. We're talking about treating people well and whatnot.
Yeah.
And he actually said, you know, people on social media, someone might post something up that's like, hey, I've got a new car. There you go. I can afford to buy this new car.
Mm.
I'm doing really well. And that might have been the one good thing out of a whole bag of shit that has fucking just, hey, I'm feeling really good right now. And then people just fucking slam it.
Shit on
and then
it.
Yeah.
So someone goes, one good thing you've got is Colorado. Now
covered in shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
What a piece of shit. That's not going to fucking do it. Yeah.
You know, and that could be the thing that breaks them.
Yeah, that's you've got to be so careful with social media because you don't you don't get that one-on-one, so you don't get that feel of how that person's doing.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, you don't get the reaction immediately.
The people talking don't have the fear of getting chopped in the jaw.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
It's exactly, all that stuff that was just said was exactly what we told her.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get away from it. Like, back when we were kids, if someone talked smack about you, you know who they were, where they were.
Yeah. And I got punched in the face,
It's a lot
not in the chin, but in the face.
It's a lot easier to sit miles away, isn't it? And like, you know, this.
And I said, someone on the other side of the globe can fucking smash you every fucking day and you can do nothing
about
it.
Because a lot of these blokes are the ones that sat at the back of the smoking area not talking to anyone.
That's exactly right.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
10 foot tall and bulletproof.
Yeah, get home in the.
I mean that's the kind of thing that we really look for, I guess, on the social media platforms as well. You know, like you've got to be careful on the page because, like I said, you don't know someone's background, and like you said, that one thing can be a catalyst for someone who is doing it a bit rough, but then they've had that one moment of positivity. And then you get someone who's just ripping them to shreds, and it brings them back down, and that can be that catalyst.
It's trash as well. It's like, oh, you're too fat. You
know? Yeah. It's just personal attacks that don't need to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I used to be really self-conscious about my shape, and then I started wearing trademark shirts, and I'm like, if people are going to look at me, they can look at me in style.
That's not really stylish, though.
Yeah. Well, hey, come on.
They're sharp. I mean, they look good, but it kind of looks like a clown threw up on you.
Yeah. That's the idea.
It definitely started a conversation.
Yeah. I love these shirts.
Yeah, they're good, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a...
Tough as
we
nails.
We get to know a lot of blokes,
tough as nails
too.
Like me.
It is, and it is, as you said, about all of us being very heavily involved in the page, where, like, you know a lot of the members. Like, we've got a good couple of thousand members, but you sort of... No, like the more people comment and the more people comment on different posts and that, you get a big gauge on how people are. Yeah, so and through that, like, people sort of know who you can sort of...
Yeah, you know who you can't.
Like, first-time posters normally get treated with quite a big level of respect, you know what I mean? Like, the new guys. And then you sort of gauge how they are with, like, some of the boys that have been on there a while and how they, like, you know what I mean? And then you sort of know where you stand, don't you? You can sort of, like, get a feeling of... people and where they're at.
And new posters are a good way to weed out fuckwits too, because you'll definitely see straight away who's a fuckwit.
Well,
who's
we've got some of the other mods that came on a bit later in that, and sometimes they'd be like, hey, like, I don't know if we should post this because this could cause some shit, and it's like, no, well, then do it.
Post it.
Put it out there.
Let it go through.
It's like throwing a bit of bait out sometimes, isn't it? You're going to see, you're going to have awesome responses, or this is a key moment that can that fuckwit sat thousands of miles away, like, retain himself from being a prick? Or is he like...
is he going to have that shit come moment?
Yeah. And sometimes we get surprised by that. Sometimes somebody will chuck something out there and we're like, let's keep an eye on this.
Yeah.
And the guy that we thought would be the antagonist has come through and gone, mate, I've done the same.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's why your head's a little bit weird.
It's constant surprises, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And as I said, learning from just every experience. Isn't it?
Yeah.
You're constantly learning. Right. You just got that.
Yeah. That's fucking amazing. I love it.
Pay attention.
It's a really, like, you know, when I first sort of started out, I had no fucking idea either. Honestly, I had no idea what the fuck I was doing.
To be fair, we still don't.
No, we kind of just really make it up as we go along, but it's all a learning curve and it's all a, you know, but you're constantly amazed. I say to these guys something, it never fucking ceases to amaze me, the different demographics that you get and what they do and, you know, how it all works and how it all fits in together. It's fucking incredible.
Always inspiring, eh?
Yeah, it is. And some of the guys, you know, like, I mean, Bevo's one, he's an inspiring human being, you know? Like,
you know
he's...
what? I had a run-in with Bevo.
Yeah, I did.
Well, you didn't run.
It
did
was
he?
Neither of us ran. Yeah. All right, let's be clear on that. I don't run anywhere.
Did you tell him you liked Fords?
No, I. There was a post up on a page. I can't remember where it was, but it was something about Pauline Hanson pulling kids out of normal club, special needs kids.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling them out of class so that the other kids could get ahead and then putting them into their own sort of class, right? And I said, and the words I meant absolutely no disrespect, but I said, is it mentally ill children, like with mental illness or whatever? And Bevo had a go at me, and he said, oh, you can't say that. Like it was like saying fucking vegan or some shit. Like and then it went back and forth. Like I said, for fuck's sake, mate. I didn't even know him. Didn't even look at his profile.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I said, fuck off, mate. I didn't mean anything by it. Like, blah, 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 blah. But it sort of sorted itself out. And I actually...
That's what doesn't happen enough this day and age.
Mm. People don't sort things.
They don't. Yeah. That's where the whole offended thing comes from. And it's like you can't talk it out. And a lot of people... I think me and you had a conversation about that a while back, didn't we? Where like someone will say something now and someone gets offended...
Yeah.
Or upset. And there's no talking of ideals anymore. We're not discussing things.
No.
Yeah.
And people are hard set on their way.
Because that's become so powerful as well through social media. Like, you'll get one TV, like, spokesperson fuck up.
Mm.
And the next minute, they ain't got a job anymore.
Yeah.
Because you get enough lynch mobs on the internet and Channel 10 or whoever else. Sorry, Channel 10.
Please don't sue us.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
No, you're right. It's
a different channel team.
And they don't have a career anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what celebrated. We won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lynch mob. Yeah. No.
Enough people don't talk about things anymore. Yeah, like, last night we had a chat about like having a debate.
Yeah. I mean, people have this fucking inability now to agree to disagree.
Mm.
And just say, you know, well, fuck, I've got my opinion. Yeah. You've got your opinion. Let's go have a beer.
Yeah, because
and not talk about that anymore. Let's talk about something relatable.
Just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right.
Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly it.
You had with Bevo, I'm going through that at the moment. My son suffers from autism, and he's going to primary school. It's his first year of primary school next year, prep.
Mm.
And that was one of my first thoughts. Like, it's my son, but it's like, is he going to go in like your regular classroom? I don't like saying normal. You know what's
normal
for the spider's code for the fly. You know, but like. How's that going to play out?
That's where one of the problems lie, is that people construe words as offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, you don't have context, you don't have...
Well, you're saying, my son's got autism and he's going into a normal class. Like, it's a normal class is, you know, if you have a class full of people with autism...
Yeah.
That's a normal class.
Yeah, it
because
is.
Because it's normal
and
for him.
A perfect example of that is, you know how good it is? He does this thing called ECDP, which is your Early Childhood Development Program, and it's really good. And shit thing is, the Australian government's thinking about shutting that down, and it has been awesome. It's getting him ready for school. You know what I mean? And how amazing it is going and waiting with the other parents there and being at like school events at this because you're not the odd one out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like that's not a normal setting. But that is our normal setting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Everyone's
the same boat. And then you go to pick my daughter up from school and try to take him, and it's like Donnie from the Wild Fucking Thornberrys. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, just all over the place. But, like, I believe that the other children shouldn't be distracted by that.
That's a reasonable fucking discussion to have.
I see that every day with my daughter at home. My daughter's doesn't suffer from autism. And bless her, sometimes, man, she is terrorized at home. Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking, that's just one child putting up with it. Like, are these other kids trying to do their thing and having me boy? Like, I love me boy. And I want him to have a great chance too, but sometimes that's like...
I guess the exact flip side of that is, one, you know, maybe you don't want the other kids to be distracted, but you also want him to learn in an environment where he is catered to, because he's obviously going to learn in a different manner.
There's ways to accomplish
both, and he's going to learn a lot better. He's going to develop a lot better if he's in that kind of tailored environment too, you know?
Yeah.
Well, some one of the big parents, things we say about education is we can't teach all children the same and expect them to benefit from it.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Everyone, we preach everyone's individual, but we try... treat them all the same.
Yeah, try and cookie cutter them with
but
education.
Then some parents don't have that mentality, which is, I think that's the right mentality. You want your child to be taught in the same environment as like-minded kids.
Yeah, well, they, like going back to my own experience with autism, and I've got one child that's autistic, my little boy, and my little 8-year-old girl, she's not autistic. And I thought I had it made, because I've already figured out this style of parenting that doesn't involve a, like, any slapping or anything, because of how I raised. I think I'm a bit too soft on that. But, like, I'd figured all this out to raise, this 8-year-old's kids, it's all good, this is perfect, this is, like, I've nailed it here. And then for him to fucking come along and just, like, everything you thought you knew, motherfucker, thrown in the bin.
Oh,
yeah, they were, like, kicking fly screws out. And, like, we found him in the garden. I thought someone was breaking in. I heard noises in the garden. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. And me missus, like, Leon, Leon. I'm like, what? Someone's in the garden. I'm like, shit, oh, you want me to? I'm like, half asleep. Like, his head all doughy. I'm like, look at the window. It's my boy on the swing. He's figured out how to, because he can work stuff out. He's unlocked the window, he's kicked the fly screen out, and he's in the garden, playing about. But yeah, as you said, like, so that, looking at two children, even a child that's, like, if you got two children that don't suffer from autism, every child's different. I mean, your kids are older than mine, there's, chalk works cheese, for man. One daughter doesn't work as a punishment for the other.
Yeah, that's right. You try and, like, if you punish one way, and then you try and carry that over for the second one, the second one's like, fuck you, hillbilly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, it's fucking all good. I'll cop that on the chin all day. Yeah. No worries.
Yeah, one kid is like, really active.
Yeah,
you ground him. He's just short.
He's fucking devastated.
He's not very active. Your grandma wasn't going out anyway, did it?
Yeah, I'm just kicking my fucking bed. They're chalk and cheese. You know, like I've always said. You know, you show me normal, I'll show you a fish's dick. Have you ever seen a fish's dick? Anyone ever seen a fish's dick?
No, I haven't.
No such thing as normal, hey?
I saw a video the other day of this Asian bird that had that shellfish.
What the fuck kind of videos are you watching?
That shellfish that would look like a dick, and she just bit the cunt off.
I haven't seen that.
Just like, what the fuck are you... Ugh.
What videos are you watching? What site is this? Asking for a mate.
Facebook.
I'm missing out.
That was not on the BU page.
In the announcements.
Yeah, we pinned that shit.
Yeah.
Let's talk about merch, because this merch is fucking awesome. I got two stickers. I'm going to put one on my car.
You've got one to come from me, because I was a dickhead and left it on his table.
I wasn't going to say anything. But tell us about your merch, and what are you doing with the money and all that sort of stuff? Would you helping out different peoples? And
so I'm glad you brought it up. I mean, we're all obviously wearing it.
Yep.
So it's worthwhile mentioning and getting I guess the message out there on what we do. So merchandise, we've always run from the very beginning is a not for profit sort of setup. We've run it through other companies, a couple of different places, and we sort of found a good groove at the moment, and I'll explain that in a second. We run a pre-sale campaign. The idea behind a pre-sale campaign is that we're not shelling out money for stock and then getting left with, 12 XLs and, extra smalls and, all these oddball sizes and things. We don't run it like a business. Brothers Unite as an actual entity doesn't exist. It's just simply an idea. And that's all it's ever been. So to run a merchandise campaign, we've always had to go through a third party. A third party in the past has run a pre-sale run. We place our orders, we pay for everything. At the end of whatever that period is that we set, everything goes to manufacture, everything gets divvied out.
Yep.
Early in the piece, we did it, and I think we got good traction to begin with, didn't we, for the first two runs?
Yep.
But the garment quality just wasn't great. The communication with the third-party supplier wasn't amazing either.
The actual website access to actually buy it was really clunky and really difficult.
That was
a lot of members. We had a lot of feedback about that.
The website crashed. They just didn't maintain it well.
But anything's going to have teething problems.
Well, these guys are an established company.
Oh.
So this was a third-party supplier.
This wasn't something we outsourced.
Well, that's different.
The whole lot. So yeah, it was really clunky. It was really fucking difficult.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys got turned off buying garments and all that kind of stuff, buying shirts, and because you'd get messages going, I've ordered, I came to the pay part and the fucking website crashed.
Yeah.
Or
and because the website was so clunky and slow to get, it'd take you 20 minutes to get to there, you got to put your details in, website would crash and just fall apart, people, it's too hard. Too hard for a shirt that's going to cost me $25 and I'm not going to see it for 6 weeks because it's going to be made. People just go, to UB. Yeah. To UB. So from there, we started looking around for other apparel suppliers. And an opportunity had come up for me. I posted on this on the page just the other day, actually. So I joined a group of mates that run an apparel company. I joined in with them. And the opportunity had come up. I'd said to the boys, hey, look, you know, I can do apparel. I can do it. We can make it 100% transparent. We ran the first campaign with a couple of designs that we'd come up with. We've got an in-house designer. Everything's, you know, either sublimated. We've run screen printed stuff recently. But similar sort of fashion. We run a pre-sale. We purchase. We get everything manufactured. Again, no profit gets turned back towards Brothers Unite. But anything that is made is put towards a charitable purpose. So the company I work for partners with a charity currently. Part of our profits go to that charity. And the idea behind that particular place is that they pull people from the community that are otherwise the misfits, the unworkables. They train them up, they get them job ready, they put them into work, and they take off from there. It's also a fair bit that goes on as well with mental health, and physical health as well. So it's a huge, huge not-for-profit foundation that we partner with as my business. And then as Brothers Unite coming to that business, we, again, part of the profits gets directed towards those guys. But we also take some hints from the guys at Brothers Unite as a group on where other portions of profit may go as well.
So it's a collective effort.
It's a collective effort, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so, people know exactly where it's going, what it's doing.
100%. So this time round, was probably one of the biggest merchandise runs that we've done yet.
That was good.
It was.
Garments are arriving right now. People are getting them, people are wearing them. You know, it's starting to show up at people's houses, which is where your stuff's come from out of that run. And we've donated, there's about 65 brand new garments to a company called Give It. So Give It, givit.com.au, is another not-for-profit company, and basically they take donations, they take them to affected areas, you know, they give the garments direct to the people. It's not like it's going to end up at an op shop where they're going to sell it, they're going to pay a CEO, you know, multiple tiers of management.
Cutting out the middleman.
Yeah, taking the garments straight to the people that need it. So we've partnered with those guys for this time around, and Brothers Unite in parts basically given us the opportunity to do that, so...
That's awesome. We've put
around 60 garments, brand new garments, straight on the backs of people that have been affected by the recent fires that have been happening in Queensland and New South Wales.
Fuck yeah.
So that's the way that operates.
It's a hell of a lot more useful than ScoMo's fucking thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right, absolutely.
Yep.
So that's...
Allegedly.
Yeah. Nobody's seen him actually pray, have they? No. We've managed to do that. That's, I guess, the physical sense of where the profits have gone. But at the end of every merchandise run as well, we also offer a profit and loss to the members. So it gets posted publicly on the Brothers Unite platform. The guys can see this is what everything costs. This is what you've paid. This is the profit
at the
end.
It's always been very transparent.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Quite wicked.
Here's all documentation. Anyone who is maybe thinking anything could be going on.
Yeah, if you thought I was buying myself a brand new ute or a house or going on a holiday with my missus or anything like that, they can see that, you know, we made minus $78, I think, last time. Yeah, we went backwards on a couple because we had some international posts that we didn't account for.
Yep.
And the same thing's going to happen this time. I think we've got nearly 30 parcels that are going overseas.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
International, you guys must
over
be
the US
stoked.
And, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing, yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they Aussies living in the US, or is it just mate. Fucking...
No, the dudes overseas,
if
Irish.
You're, if you boys are listening to this, Jason Daywood, Brad Hughes, Galen Swanley, these are the guys over in the US that a while ago they kind of came on board, and then they started spreading the word over in the US and
started flying Australian flags on their Memorial Day as well.
These guys, like, they're actually ordering the merchandise and they're wanting to get the name out there over in the States and
fucking
on international platforms and stuff. Yeah,
there's been a couple of dudes that have ordered clearly more than what's just for them as well. Yeah, the intention is they're going to throw them out, you know, when they go to the pub or drop them off to their friends' places, so get involved with this. Yeah,
that is sick.
So
right at the very, very start of all this, I actually had discussions with the other admins and mods and all that kind of stuff. Never will we ever profit from someone's misfortune. Never will we profit from, you know, merchandise that's promoting a page of men's mental health and all that kind of thing. For me, that's one of the morals of the page.
Yep.
We will never take money.
You said it's an advertisement for an idea and a lifestyle.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why the big push you wanted, and we talked about the high vis shirts. For the work site,
yeah.
You're bringing talking to each other to the smoko table. Then,
Similar to your trademark. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, we've got Brothers Unite, we've got High Viz, so Brothers Unite, we've got a little banner on the back. Two dudes are sitting down at a job site, or a dude pulls up in a truck and goes out and drops his delivery off at the local shop. Guys can go, oh, what's... I haven't seen that brand of shirt. And you go, actually, mate, it's not a brand. This is what we do.
It's an ideal. Yeah.
It's not a brand, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah,
it's exactly right. And it's right from the very start, we've always been 100% transparent with it. We never, ever have garnered any profit, ever.
That's awesome.
And we will not. So long as my ass points to the ground, we will never take any profit from a member.
I think we tallied up about a couple of months ago, didn't we, that we chucked about 10 grand into it collectively between all the admins and moderators that have put their hand up and chucked in some money to do something or promote somewhere to get us out there. It's a lot of money. Yeah.
It is, but it's worth it.
It's a lot of money for a bunch of dudes that are driving shit cars, yeah.
Yeah. But it's...
I feel really bad now.
I'd pay that money 10 times over if it meant we could save just one bloke. Absolutely. If we could bring one bloke back from the edge, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
Every cent. And I'd do it again and again and again. And so with these guys, this is... And that's not me telling these guys, it's not me encouraging these guys. It's these guys grabbing hold of that ideal and those values and morals and ethics and running with them.
Mm.
You know, that and Winter making Woolies it a part. Was awesome.
Yeah, that, it was. That was fantastic.
That was really cool.
We
did like the Winter Woolies where a couple of us wanted to... It was A, to get a load of the boys together from the page to talk face-to-face. And B, we wanted to, during the colder months, they got like the homeless shelter up in Brisbane. They were really...
Pindaria, I think it's called. Yeah, Pindaria.
Yeah, and they were really easy to work with. And big shout out to Dan Charity because he did a lot of the to and fro with the...
In the background, yeah.
Yeah. And we was meeting at pubs from like Redlands down to the Gold Coast and that. And all the boys were bringing like doonas, hoodies, like clothing and that. And then it's sort of like, well, maybe they need some business shirts. You know what I mean? Like, we're going for interviews and that. We're trying to get blokes like back on. And then we all headed up there one glorious Thursday night and welcome with open arms.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Fully interested. Like, it was...
Hearing some blokes' stories and that. I mean, there was blokes there that have gone from driving around in Mercs to like...
Homeless.
Ending up literally there. Homeless. Off the back of a divorce and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
that doesn't surprise me.
There's a couple of guys there that were, you know, there was one guy specifically I remember having a conversation with, and he was in a really dark place. He is, like Thumper said, he was on the back end of a divorce, and he had a home down on the Gold Coast, a couple of cars, family, kids, you know, the whole lot, and the whole lot was gone, everything. And he was literally homeless. This guy had nothing. And, you know, to sit down across the table and hear that story... You know, and then I look back and I go, well, fuck, hang on. You know, I've been through a bit of hell, but not like that. Mm. I've still got a roof over my head. Fucking hell. And I walked away from that with a completely different mindset.
Mm.
You think, fuck, man. You know, these guys are really hard doing it hard. Yeah. So it's
tough as hell.
It was. And this guy was literally broken. You know, he was broken. And he's still part of the page now.
Well, see, someone else's experience can really put yours into perspective like that.
Yeah, it does. It gives you a little bit.
But on the same token, we can't keep comparing ourselves to everyone. Like, you can't...
Well, that's the big push.
Because your experience is your experience.
Yes,
it's no one else.
That menial thing that other people may have been through worse is the worst thing that person's ever been through.
Yeah.
And that's the same way we preach on the page, not to... I mean, being on the page as well, you look at what some other guys are going through and you can't let that discredit what you're going through either.
Exactly.
You can't think, I won't bring this up because that guy's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as I said, there's a lot of background things that can build a situation as well. You know what I mean? Like, no two stories are the same.
Mm.
No.
Like, no two people have the same coping mechanisms or actual support group outside of the page. Like, so, it's about... Everyone's issues are like on par for that person. Like, you can't.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna comment on one post and not another because I believe that's worse.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, they could be hurting the same.
It's a matter of perspective, isn't it? I mean, the two guys, one's lost everything, and I mean fucking everything, and his life is catastrophic, literally catastrophic. And then you've got one guy who's
lost
his
dog.
Yeah, he's fucking. But in their own minds, they're both evenly.
Mm.
On par as far as coping with those problems.
We can't... what's the word I'm looking for again? We can't compare all the time, but we can learn and look up to people that have, come through the other side and whatnot. So
yeah, it's all about experience. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Which is exactly what, like I was saying at the start there, it's not psychology. It's just, it's life experience.
Yeah,
that's exactly it.
You know, and feeding off that. So that's great. So what's what do you guys have in the future lined up? Anything that you can
be your Christmas party tonight?
Yeah. tonight, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Working, fuck that's, yeah.
That's going to get a little bit rowdy.
It's going to be at my work, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. We'll come fight the security guards.
You told the big Viking Rob, you do not want us at your work.
At a bus stop, fucking hell.
I think long-term goals, I guess, for Brothers Unite is really just to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, just existence.
It works. It works. Yeah. You know, we don't need to change anything. We don't need to get... want to get better.
You're going to evolve naturally.
Yeah. And that's how we've gotten so good over this period, is we haven't just gone, you know what, let's try and get 500,000 members in and just have a group. You know, we take quality over quantity.
Yeah.
And just, through natural attrition, people have added their mates. They've heard that their mate's having a hard time and they'll chuck them in. They'll send us a message saying, hey, this dude, he's having a tough time. Can we encourage him to have a chat? We'll shoot a message, hey, get him in. And I think we just keep doing what we're doing, and it's going to naturally...
If this reaches people on the outside world and you're thinking about joining Brothers Unite, just know there are some questions on the way in. Please answer them.
This is Thumper's pet hate.
Yeah,
please answer
the questions.
Maybe once a week, Thumper's in there. He's like, he's in the admin chat, and he's going, "They won't answer the fucking question."
Yeah,
fuck.
There's a question when you come in, so you either request to get in, or somebody will add you in. Basically, it's just the fundamentals of the page. I mean, it's certainly not as long as what we've just talked about here in the podcast, but it's just, this is who we are, this is what we do. Are you in? It's an opt-in option.
Do you understand it? Do you get it?
We're not email spammers. We're not just going to add people in, let them come in and go, what the fuck is this? What have I signed up for?
Yeah.
We're telling you what we're about.
They are being dickheads and you get kick them out. It's just like, it's not as if you didn't know like you being a dick was going to have you exited.
Yeah.
You said yes. I won't be a shit cunt.
Yeah.
I won't tell my missus. Like, see you, mate.
But
if they don't answer the questions after 3 days, I've got to clear it out. Because, because I normally do a lot of that because I work the night shift. So there's 3 days and I'll do it on the cusp of like 1 a.m. And then I'll go through sometimes and there'll be like 15 blokes, sometimes 30, that people have invited to the page. And they just either haven't seen it, haven't been bothered with it. Because I won't say yes unless there's questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bad too, because that could be blokes that need help.
Yeah, that's the thing, like these guys might be slipping through the net. We don't know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's why the questions are important.
But the questions are, the bio of the page and then the question afterwards is important, because it gives you a background. Like Dan said, it tells you what the page is about. It gives you a background. And it puts it out there right away. Hey, don't be an asshole. Don't be a shit cunt. Don't come to our page and, be a troll.
Yeah, it does. And it puts it out there straight away without actually having to get involved with the page. It makes it known that we are not one of those other groups that they don't like being part of.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and these guys, for whatever reason, they don't see it, or they don't, they can't be bothered with it, like Thumper said, or something like that. These are guys that could be slipping through the net. These are guys that could potentially be the ones that pull the trigger.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that's if these guys see it, they answer the question, they come into the page, it might be someone that we can talk back from the edge. Someone we can bring around.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that's for Thumper especially, because he does a lot of that stuff in the background. He's like, they won't answer the fucking question. Just answer the question, come into the page.
To me is no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always been under the impression that it's the whatever the last word you said.
Nah.
My daughter just started doing that. It fucking drives me up the wall. Do you want some food, sweetheart? Yeah, nah.
Stop.
You're going hungry.
That one's, I guess, like I said, it's Thumper that does a fair bit of that one in the background. So it's for him, he takes that one really, really seriously.
Yeah,
so
just,
if anyone's out there and they're listening and they want to join, answer the fucking question. Yeah. Just answer it.
Stop it.
All right, guys, I think we're going to wrap it up there. It was fucking, it's been awesome to talk to you guys. So glad we lined this up. So,
it's good song melting. I mean, you can tell who the Englishman in the room is right now.
I'm the big guy. And I'm not pissing as much sweat as you are.
Mate, it's full on.
Yeah. I'm going to get aircon in here, but
I think the sweat makes it more intimate.
Some pheromones coming off.
Yeah. You can taste it in the air, can't you?
Yeah, you smell fucking great. Yeah.
This erection's not awkward for any of you guys, is it?
No, not at all.
All right. I thought it was just a pattern on the shirt.
It's an optical illusion.
It's the pleat.
Black is slipping, not this.
And likewise, like I said, I've listened to your podcast as well, and what you do. I mean, there's plenty of different platforms that we can get this idea that we want to become a lifestyle out there. We had, before we go, we had a couple of guys saying, like, can we do a BU for the younger generation? The younger kids, because we won't take on anyone.
Under 18.
And it's like, we don't want that, nothing like that attached to the BU, but, like, we encourage it. If a young guy wants to do that and encourage the next generations of blokes to talk up, that's awesome.
But you think that it has to be run by someone in that demographic?
You can't have a bunch of 30-year-old dudes talking to 13-year-old dudes about their problems.
Exactly. You ever read Cosmopolitan while waiting for the doctors? It doesn't work. You've got 4-year-old women trying to appeal to 16-year-old girls.
But you to find someone in that demographic, or, you know, the people in that demographic that are, I suppose, mentally mature enough.
That's right.
You know, and then you get
committed to maintaining.
And that, that committed.
These kids got to go to school, man.
Yeah,
we're lucky if we don't all have real jobs. We all got office jobs, so we just sit around doing nothing.
We're kind of just, you know, kicking back, checking the page every now and then, you know. Nah. But to find, to find kids that are that committed and that mentally mature, to be able, I suppose, to respond if someone, like a young kid, were to post up, you know, like a 14-year-old kid going, I'm fucking done, I'm out, you know, this is it, I've had enough, then is that kid mature enough to go, hey, hang on,
let's talk about this, because we know
like kids that age, look,
they are emotionally unstable, fucking, like they're explosive
and they can be cruel
and they're under under different pressure than we know. We didn't grow up in this social media stuff.
That's exactly right.
The prime age of a troll is between 13 and 25, mate. So to have, you know, kids dealing with kids, like you said, you know, some of them are brutal. And it's because they don't know the repercussions. They don't see it face to face.
They don't get it.
You know, I know that if I talk shit, I'm probably going to get hit by someone. Or if I talk shit, I can see that I've broken you when I've said it, and I go, yeah, sorry, mate. I didn't realise to make fun of you. Make fun of your red beard.
I have heard that that's why they send people to war young, because the brain's not developed enough to recognise consequence.
To get it,
And
it's not until you're like 21.
I believe the same with religion.
You shouldn't teach religion in school.
Well, that's a different fucking podcast. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you, Dan, Leon, and Seth. Thank you guys so much for coming in. I can't wait to get this episode out.
Thanks for having us, mate.
Yeah. It's been great.
Thanks for having us in your man cave.
Man cave 4301. Yeah, the BU.
Yeah, the BU.
Wake up, you cunts.
No. Get up, you cunts.